Well, with that, are you ready for the word this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. I want you to share with us, first of all, our favorite scripture, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Go with me to John chapter 20. Oh, man, I could just stand up here and just share about Haiti. There were so many good things, but praise God. John chapter 20, starting in verse 1, says, Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. And we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, that's John, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb and he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciples who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Now, that phrase, before we left for the trip, that phrase, he saw and believed, has just been haunting me. He saw and believed. What did Peter and John see? What was the first thing they saw? Nothing. Have you ever seen nothing? Here they are. They've come to the tomb. They've heard the report that his body has been stolen. So they look in the tomb first to see if his body is still there. And they saw nothing. It was obvious the body wasn't there. Now think about this. They were looking and they saw an empty tomb. What happened to the body? They weren't yet aware of the scriptures. They hadn't put those things together yet in their heads. They were still in shock from the crucifixion. They were still in shock thinking, all the things that Jesus told us, all that, has it just ended? Has it just stopped? All the prophecies, all the teachings, all the things that Jesus, has it just ended right now? For 3 days they've been thinking about this. For 3 days they've been questioning. For 3 days they've been seeking the answer. What is to become of all that Jesus said? What's to become of us? What is the purpose of all that Jesus shared? Where is this going? They had to raise the question, has Jesus' body been taken? But now think about this. It's an obvious question even for the disciples. But who would take a body? And can you imagine someone carrying a naked body, a dead body through the streets? The claws were there in the tomb. If they took the body, it's naked. Who would do that? I mean, who would take the time to take the claws off? They weren't the final wrappings, but they were still wrappings. They had anointed him with spices to cover up the smell and the odor of decay when they laid him in the tomb. So all they can begin to think about is, why would anybody take a naked body and run off with it? At least take the coverings with you. But they didn't. They left the claws laying there. And then The last thing they saw was the handkerchief. The claws had been kind of thrown off. But the handkerchief hadn't been thrown off. The handkerchief had been taken off, had been folded neatly, precisely. And it was separate from everything else. No body. The wrappings of the dead laying there, kind of messed up, kind of like when you get out of bed in the morning, you just toss the covers aside. And then there's this wrapping that was on his head, folded. Now, if someone's going to steal a body, why take the time to fold the covering of the head? But there it was, nice and neat and clean and crisp, laying there all by itself, separate. In the eighth verse, it says, then the other disciple, John, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and he believed. What did John believe? Verse 9 gives us the clue. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. The only thing that they could believe is Jesus has risen from the dead. They didn't have the scripture for it yet. They couldn't argue it or articulate it, but there's an empty tomb, the linen cloths, and the handkerchief. And the only rational conclusion that they could come to, he's alive. Now, John's belief was not based on his knowledge of scripture. John's belief was not based on seeing the resurrected Jesus. John's belief was not based on an emotional response. He saw and believed. He saw the empty tomb, the cloths, the folded handkerchief, and he believed the only thing that made sense. He must be alive. In John chapter 2, verse 18, it says, the Jews answered Jesus and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and will you raise it up in 3 days? But Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered. His disciples, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remember. I believe that's this moment in chapter 20. John remembered. Jesus said in 3 days, it's the third day. 3 days, I'll raise it up. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. When he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered and that he said to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, John tells us in chapter 20, they didn't know the scripture. They hadn't put that together yet, but they believed that Jesus had said this, and in 3 days, there's an empty tomb. In 3 days, there's a linen cloth thrown off as though one has gotten out of bed. In 3 days, there's the handkerchief folded nice and neat and laid separate from all the others. I believe that was a sign that Jesus left to the disciples, that when they would come in the tomb, they would see that this wasn't a ransacked tomb. Nobody had gone in it to loot anything, but that it had been done neat and orderly and purposefully as a sign to them that Jesus was indeed alive. What sign do you show us? Jesus would later tell Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The world and our flesh is always looking for a sign. They want to see before they believe. They want evidence. They want proof before they trust. Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah, 3 days in the belly of a whale. Jesus said, destroy this temple or this body, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. John had seen the cloths, the handkerchief, and now he remembered what Jesus had said. Later they would search the scriptures for confirmation, but now all that was important is that Jesus told them that the Holy Spirit would bring all things back to their remembrance. Before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he had declared, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and he who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus said in John 12:44, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And so the question to the disciples is not whether they believe Jesus, but do we believe in the Father that Jesus told us about, that said was with him? Do they believe in the Father, that the Father would raise Jesus up? It wasn't just a question, did Jesus raise himself up from the dead? No, the belief was, as Jesus had said, if you believe in me, you believe in him who sent me. Does the Father God have the power to raise the dead back to life? And the resurrection of Jesus, of Lazarus, says yes and amen. This is our Father. They believed in the Father God, not just in Jesus, but the Father that sent him and the purposes that the Father had given to Christ. And they believed in the Father that would raise him from the dead and not abandon him. At the Last Supper, they had sat around and they shared together. And Jesus had said, I shall be with you a little while longer. Where I am going, you cannot come. But if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus was telling them, I'm going away. The Holy Spirit began to bring all this back. I can just see John standing at the tomb and Peter on the inside, and they're hearing all these things. The Last Supper, the things that they've been contemplating for the last 3 days, is suddenly flooding back into them with a consciousness that they've never known before, never experienced before. Jesus had told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's a new way. There's something different going on here than what we've ever seen before. There's a newness that has come. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. And then he said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Oh, have they felt like orphans over the last 3 days? Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt abandoned? Have you ever felt like everything you believed in has just crumbled and fallen apart? And there's absolutely nothing you can do to put it back together. Life has ceased its meaning. There's no purpose to it anymore. And yet Jesus is saying, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus went on to say, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. In John chapter 14, verse 25, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. They're remembering all these things. It's, like I said, it's coming back as a flood into their consciousness of all these things that Jesus said. Jesus had also said in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice. 3 days they haven't rejoiced. But he said, if you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. When Jesus had said this, they all were asking, what are you talking about? You're going, you're coming, you're going to be with the Father. This has got to happen. All these different things. But now they begin to understand. Jesus said, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Now it all made sense. Everything Jesus had said began to flood John's understanding. John believed that Jesus truly is the Son of God, that he became flesh, that he died to cleanse us as a final sacrifice. And Jesus has been raised from the dead, the final irrefutable proof. Jesus is who he said he was. Jesus is alive. Glory to God. Let's stand up.
Jesus is alive. Death is lost, his victory, and the grave.
want to end this service without giving you a chance today to experience that new life for yourself. To be born again, we call it. To be changed from death into life. To come out of your grave, to take the grave claws off of yourself, to walk in the life, the newness of life. We've had communion. We had a great message. Amen. Amen. But we need to experience these things.
Yes.
We need to walk in them, not just hear about them, not just say, well, you know, I'll study it out. You need to respond to God.
Yes.
If there's anyone here this morning, say, just, I need to be born again. I need to take some grave clothes off. I need to come out. I need to wrap myself in the newness of God, the freshness of God. Just raise your hand up. We want God to become so real in your life. We want Him to so transform you that you will glow from the glory of God. That it'll come from the inside out. Not just trying to clothe ourselves in the trappings of Christianity, but to be Christian. To have that anointing in us that destroys every yoke, that breaks every bondage in our lives, that we would be totally free in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I saw one hand. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Oh, let's pray together. We can all have this. Father, we repeat, Father, we receive the resurrection of Jesus.
We believe
that you raised him from the dead.
That you brought him out of the tomb.
And he is seated at your right hand. And we believe
this new life
is for us.
It's for me.
I can have this because God wants me to have it. I'm not stealing. I'm not robbing. I am receiving the blessing of God. From this day forward,
I will trust in God.
I will yield my life to Him.
I will give myself to Him.
That He may live
in me,
and I may abide
in Him.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
God. Woo! God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus.